Michigan Congressman Justin Amash, a guy who's usually on an island by himself, but his constituents like him. I mean, and when I say he's on an island by himself, he's usually, you know, willing to go it alone, all by himself. But he is warning that the incoming bill that includes if you can't fly, you can't buy. If you can't fly because you're on a terrorist watch list, you can't buy firearms. H.R. 5611, he says it'll infringe on the First, Second, Fifth, and Sixth Amendments. We had to get an expert in here to make sure that we're talking about the right things. Dr. John Lott, Ph.D., President of the Crime Prevention Research Center. Doctor, welcome back to the program.
Good morning.
Tell me about this legislation from what you know and what you understand. I've read it, and there's a lot in there.
Which particular bill are you talking about?
This is 5611, the thing coming from McCarthy that says if you are on a terrorist watch list, they can extend for at least 3 business days your ability to buy a gun, and then the Attorney General can apparently unilaterally say, well, you're on a terrorist watch list, and apparently, the way I read it, extend indefinitely your ban on banning firearms. Now, the problem to me is pretty obvious. I know one person personally that has to carry paperwork with them to the airport every time they go because their name is similar to somebody else's. They've been on this list for, this has been going on for like 5 years. What a pain.
Right. Well, I mean, there have been lots of people that have been put in this list. Plus, the problem is, you have people who have been purposely put on these lists so that, for many reasons, have absolutely nothing to do with terrorism, simply because the government wants to be able to go and talk to somebody. Just during the Obama administration, the number of people on the no-fly list has gone up 12-fold from what it was under Bush. And so when you give, you know, a political appointee or anybody else the power to just determine these things, you can have abuse of power that can occur. And so, sure, I mean, you're going to have, traditionally, if you're going to have somebody lose a right, lose some type of protection that they've had, you've had to go to courts in order to have that done, not something where just some political appointee who basically can't be challenged on these types of things is given that power. And so I would think that courts would have a lot of problems with giving the Attorney General this power.
You know, one of the things that I saw in this bill that I thought was fascinating, and then I'm going to move on to something else, but I did see this. And again, this comes from Kevin McCarthy. He's considered to be a fairly, you know, quite conservative congressman from California who put this deal together. Justin Amash not buying it, as our fair host of Republicans not buying this approach. But they use the term radical Islamist terrorism throughout the bill in several sections, which I think is actually a great step forward. Now, as I always do, I keep up on what's going on at the Crime Prevention Research Center at crimeresearch.org, and it keeps me up to date on what's going on with guns and gun laws and so forth. And if I'm reading this correct, Doctor, permitted concealed handguns will be allowed at the Republican National Convention within the 8-square-kilometer event zone. Is that what I'm understanding?
Yeah, no, that's correct. It won't be allowed within the venues, within the convention building itself, but it will be allowed outside. And I think that's a reasonable compromise there. I mean, they're following Ohio state law on this stuff. And, you know, the benefit of concealed carry, when you're talking about some generalized threat, you know, that people in general may be harmed in some type of crime or, you know, that's what they're designed for. It's not really designed when you're talking about one single target, you know, if somebody were to come in and try to go and kill a presidential candidate, and the reason is because concealed carry, if somebody were to go and do a shooting, allows people to go and respond after it stops. You know, so if something like the Orlando massacre, if somebody pulls out a gun and starts firing at other people, you have some time to go and respond to that and try to stop that. If there's only one target there, it's pretty limited in terms of your ability to go and respond because it may have already happened by the time people with the permits are alerted to the fact that there was a problem.
Well, there's no question. And so the following, and this is interesting, because they are following state law, as you point out, and not federal law, but they're following the Ohio state law, which is important. And Ohio's had the concealed carry license for many, many years now, which means those that have passed muster with the state of Ohio and had their FBI background checks and everything else that goes with it are legal to do what they're told they can do under the law. I think that is a significant deal.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah, so I guess we'll find out. I mean, there's a high probability there's going to be ruckus in the streets, I say. And so we'll find out how well this works, but I think this is a good demonstration to the country.
I think so, too. I mean, a lot of fears that people have, I think, will be shown to be unjustified.
I agree with that. All right, so what should we be aware of on the week ahead here? Short week, but what's up for gun discussions this week?
Well, I mean, we're going to have these bills that you're talking about. They're going to be talked about in Washington, D.C. I mean, you're going to have a move in the Senate to see the type of compromise bill that has been put forward there, which has pretty much the similar problems that you've been talking about for the House bill that's there, and you know, whether that's going to go forward or not.
Whether it has enough votes, yeah.
Right.
And if people want to know, a great place for them to find all that information is crimeresearch.org. Dr. John Lott is the president of the Crime Prevention Research Center. He gets up early to be with us on Tuesdays. And, Doctor, I greatly appreciate it.
All right. Well, thanks. Have a great day.
You too. Dr. John Lott, everybody. Crimeresearch.org. If you want to know what's going on with gun conversations or the Republican National Convention or anything under the sun that involves firearms, that's the place to go.